Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox. Coming up on today's show, the World Cup final is set and we'll preview Argentina and France match. Plus, we'll take a look at the third and fourth place game between Croatia and Morocco. And we'll get some prop bets for the two World Cup matches this weekend as well. But first, let's talk a Mox thought. The 49ers defeated the Seahawks 21-13 and clinched the NFC West title yet again under Brock Purdy. Your girl did well on all of her bets. I swept the board with my Mox locks and some other bets inside of there. Brock Purdy just looked like a stud, two passing touchdowns, making good decisions. You couldn't even tell that he was injured. And the 49ers defense just came up huge yet again, keeping them out of the end zone in the first half. Of course, Geno Smith did get a touchdown in the second half there, but just a huge, huge statement win for the 49ers. I believe in this team. Of course, I'm a little bit biased, but I think we could go all the way. We are the first team to clinch their division. Just us and the Eagles have solidified our spot in the playoffs, and I just look forward to it. We have a home game now at Levi Stadium. Bang, bang, Niner gang. Let's keep it moving. With Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, every bet earns with Caesars Rewards. That means whether you win or lose, you're always earning towards perks like free stays at iconic Caesars properties, game tickets, dining, and more. And if you haven't started yet, here's a reminder. Your first bet is on Caesars, up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code OMAHAFULL and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it back as a free bet. Must be 21 or older, offer valid, and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Michigan, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bet credit $1,250. Must be used within 14 days of receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. No when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW YORK or text HOPE-NEW YORK, 467-369.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Time now for Capper's Corner, and we're going to talk all things World Cup. The final between Argentina and France is set for Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, and it's one of the most highly anticipated matches, not just because it's the final, but because of the history between these two countries. Let's welcome in our guest, Action Network soccer analyst BJ Cunningham, back to the show. BJ, thank you so much for joining us again. How's it going? Are you sad that the World Cup is ending?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very sad, but one of the benefits of FIFA putting this thing in the middle of December is the club calendar just starts right again on December 26th. So there'll be no break here in the soccer world. But yes, it is very sad to have a World Cup come to the end. It's one of the more fun tournaments, really, in all of sports. So, but we have an outstanding final here between Lionel Messi and Kylian Mbappe.
Yes, we do. Okay, so now that the tournament is coming to a close, and we're sad about it, but, you know, we're moving on here. Let's take a look back at this year's World Cup. So were there any players that really stood out to you on the pitch throughout the tournament?
Well, I mean, it's obviously Lionel Messi basically turning back the clock. I mean, at age 35, he carried this Argentina team on his back all the way here to the final. And that's something he did in 2014 as well. But his ability on the ball to create, to draw in defenders and create space for his teammates has just been incredible. I mean, he's been obviously been doing it for so long, and I don't know why any of us are even surprised right now. But he has obviously been the best player of this tournament. On the flip side of that, France, they've had a couple. I mean, Mbappe is obviously, you know, he's got 5 goals. He's been incredible. But Antoine Griezmann has been really turned back the clock as well. He's 31. He hasn't had a really good season for Atletico Madrid, but somehow in a French shirt, he turns it to another level and has been their best creator, been their best midfielder. So those three guys have really impressed me throughout this World Cup. You know, I'm sad. I was a big English fan throughout this World Cup. I'm sad to see them go out. They obviously had a ton of great players, and they got knocked out by France. And, you know, we've had a couple really good underdog stories in Croatia and Morocco, who have really come together as teams and really gotten deep into this tournament through great defensive play, and a little bit of luck, but obviously their luck ran out. And now we have two of the best players in the world going at it for a World Cup final.
So Messi is 35 years old, Tom Brady, 45 years old. And clearly you have to be much more athletic to play soccer than you do as a quarterback because you're protected there. Would you say that Messi is kind of like the Tom Brady of the soccer world doing this at 35?
I mean, yeah, you could say that. I mean, this is probably going to be his last World Cup. I don't see him coming back at age 39 to play in their next World Cup. But yeah, I mean, you know, he's doing a lot of different things at age 35 than when he was in his 20s. He's not running as much, but his attacking positioning, the way he's able to come get on the ball and create for others rather than just being this type of, you know, number nine that just receives the ball, tries to get in behind defenders. It's been incredible to watch. And, you know, obviously he had the crazy run against Croatia to set up Julian Alvarez for the second goal. But yeah, I mean, he's just doing different things at age 35, similar to how Tom Brady is, you know, at age 45. It's, you know, you obviously lose a little bit of pace, a little bit of stamina, but your attacking presence, your ability on the ball doesn't go with you. So he's been incredible. I mean, I don't know why we're surprised at this point, but I mean, he's just done a lot of different things that make him, you know, and this is the last trophy he needs. He's won every trophy at the club level. He's won Copa America for Argentina. The World Cup trophy is his last to cement his legacy as the greatest ever.
So let's talk tournament standouts. There were quite a few upsets throughout the tournament, with Japan beating Germany and Spain in group play to win Group E. Argentina falling in their first match to Saudi Arabia 2-1. And now in the final, top prospects like Mexico, Uruguay, and Germany not even reaching the knockout stages. The young United States squad, leaving it all on the line against Iran in group play. And then later, of course, falling to the Dutch. Morocco becoming the first African country to make the semifinal and defeating soccer giants like Spain and Portugal to get there. This tournament has certainly been one for the books. BJ, which countries really stood out to you and why?
I think it has to be Morocco. You know, obviously, like you said, the first African nation to reach the semifinals and the way they're able to do it. So Morocco is a very interesting story. So in about 2008, they had a big time investment in their soccer academy because a lot of their players, you know, were leaving to go play for other countries. And really what they did is, you know, you're seeing the effects of that now later on with guys like Achraf Hakimi, who plays for PSG, Soufiane Boufal, who played for Angers in France, and Nasseri playing for Sevilla. All of Morocco's players play in some of the top clubs across Europe. So coming to this World Cup, they were not going to be afraid when they had to play the Spains and the Portugals of the world because they play those players on a regular basis throughout the club season. So Morocco was really one of the more talented teams coming out of Africa, and it just goes to show you that the African continent is getting a lot of talent staying in their own countries, because what happens a lot with African countries is that, you know, they go play for France or whoever, because obviously, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times their families have to move to different countries for conflicts or whatever reason to find a better life. But a lot of those players are actually staying in their countries, playing for their national team, staying for their roots. So it's really nice to see the continent of Africa get its shine like it's been due, like it's just been building for quite a while. So Morocco has been the more impressive team, the way they're able to play defensively, stay compact, keep teams like Spain and Portugal under one expected goal has been really, really nice to see. And Croatia, I don't want to call it lucky what they did. What they did is they just got every single match to extra time. They won on penalties. It's what they did during the last World Cup. So I, like I've said many times, it seems like they have alligator blood. You just can't kill them. So they've been, you know, an impressive story as well. Japan, you know, pulling off two of the biggest upsets at this World Cup, beating both Spain and Germany as giant killers was really, really fun and impressive to see. You know, really what it comes down to is that soccer is not just a European or a South American type of sport, that teams from Asia, CONCACAF, and Africa can really compete with these teams at the world level because their players are now playing in some of the top leagues across Europe. And that just bodes well for the entire world. And as we go to the 2026 World Cup for US, for Canada, for Mexico, for any other nation's chances to finally bring home a World Cup, not in South America or Europe.
Well, you just led me to my next question. So the World Cup does come to North America, which we're very excited about here stateside. What do you see from some of these other countries in 2026? Do you think that they're going to have even a bigger presence and go further?
I do. And like I already mentioned, with the U.S. team especially, with a lot of our players playing in some of the big five leagues in Europe, you know, obviously Pulisic plays for Chelsea, Tyler Adams playing for Leeds in the English Premier League, that only is going to progress the U.S. and all these other nations farther. And that's what, if these nations want to progress and they want to do something like Morocco did at this World Cup, your players can't be playing in your domestic leagues. You have to go play against the best competition week in and week out. And that's what we really saw at this World Cup as opposed to the 2018 or the 2014 World Cup, is that we've seen more upsets here than in years past because the level of play has gotten even closer between all of those continents. So, you know, obviously a team from Europe or South America has won the World Cup every single time. But we could have a chance here in the United States. I hope it's the U.S. when we get to this point, because everything's building. The United States was obviously the third youngest team at this past World Cup. So we're going to have all of our young generational talent in the primes of their career for the 2026 World Cup. So the U.S. will not have a better chance than on home soil in 2026.
Oh my God, we're so excited for it here. All right, well, taking a look at Saturday's third and fourth place match between Croatia and Morocco, which we've talked about at length right now. Croatia was hoping to make their return to the World Cup final, but they fell short against Argentina in that 3-0 loss during the semifinals. Morocco became the first African country to make the semifinals of the World Cup. We've already talked about that. Really a huge surprise with a lot of upsets along the way, like defeating Spain in the round of 16 and penalty kicks, beating Portugal in the quarterfinals. But then, of course, they fell short to the French, losing 2-0 there. It'll be a rematch between the two winners of Group F after going 0-0 in a tie earlier in the tournament, as they look to clinch some hardware for their countries. If we look at this, okay, Croatia moneyline plus 125, a tie plus 240, Morocco plus 210, total goals 2.5 for the over. That's at minus 110. The under, minus 120. Both teams to score. This is one that I like. I just like everyone to have fun. Yes, minus 130. No, plus 100. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I like what you just mentioned there, that prop bet. Both teams to score. I like no at even money. So you already mentioned this was a 0-0 draw to start off the World Cup. There was a whole lot of nothing happening in that match. It was at 5 a.m. Eastern time. I'm not sure many people watched it, but there was only a total of 0.9 expected goals created, only 29 touches in the penalty box between the two teams, and just five shots as well in the penalty box between the two. And I think the game script is going to be very similar to that first match. I think what you're seeing here for a total and both teams to score, it's inflated because it's a third place match. You know, it doesn't really matter. These teams are going to play more open. But Morocco especially has been very, very compact defensively, and they're down a bunch of center backs. So it's very, very difficult for me to see how Morocco is going to come out of that defensive shell that they've been in throughout this entire tournament and play more open against Croatia. Like what they did in that match and what they did a very poor job of is their build-up play. They turned the ball over way too many times in their own end, and actually it was how Croatia created their best chance of the match. But the thing with Morocco is they played very well against France. Like they did a lot of good ball progression through the middle of the pitch. They pulled France out of position a lot of times. Croatia's not France in terms of their defensive structure. They play a mid block. They do like to press out of that mid block. They're going to put a lot of pressure on the Moroccan back line when they are in possession of the ball. And in that first match, what happened is Morocco had to play a ton of long balls up the pitch to a lot of varied success. They had to play the ball out wide a ton of times. 25 of their 26 final third entries came from the wide areas. So
Croatia is going to be able to keep Morocco out of the middle of the pitch, so they're not going to have the success that they were able to have against France. And the flip side of that, Morocco have been the kings of not being able to turn final third possession into any type of scoring chance. Outside of the match against Canada, they've lived in the opponent's final third. I mean, they held 60% possession against Argentina, and they did absolutely nothing with it. Even in this match against Morocco, they had a 1.25 expected threat, and they only turned that into 0.5 expected goals. So it's been a tournament where Croatia doesn't have an out-and-out striker. Like, Kramaric is a guy who needs to have a dual striker pairing like he has at Hoffenheim. And they've just struggled. Like, they usually like to get the ball out wide to their wingers, but they just can't dribble by people. So if Morocco is going to stay in their defensive structure and they're going to try to go one-on-one with Morocco's fullbacks, who are very athletic and very good defenders, I find it very difficult to believe that Croatia is going to create more than they were able to in that first match. So I like both teams to score no at even money. If you want to play under 2.5 goals, -110, I think there's some value on there. Well, I think we're just getting an inflated total because this is a third place match. And I think the narrative is that these teams won't care, which I think they actually will care, and they will play defensive. And I think we're going to have a similar 0-0, maybe 1-0 type of match.
All right, so it's a no on both teams to score at even money. Taking the under, you don't think there's going to be a whole lot of scoring. However, somebody has to score if they're going to win this thing. So let's take a look at some prop bets for anytime goal scores. And BJ, I looked at these names between Croatia and Morocco. I'm not even going to attempt to say these names. I'm not going to disrespect anybody here. So why don't you tell me who you like for an anytime goal score?
Yeah, if I had to play anybody, obviously I like both teams to score no. For Morocco, I would probably play Sofiane Boufal. He's their left winger. He's all what I love to do in any time goal scoring markets. If you're going to bet these, you need to know how many shots these guys are getting per 90, because you obviously want the player taking the most shots to get the best chance. Obviously, you know, a lot of times that's the player that is the shortest on the odds list. But Sofiane Boufal is Morocco's penalty taker. They haven't had a penalty in so far in this World Cup. And he is getting their third most shots. So I do like him if somebody is going to score here from Morocco. Croatia, I don't really like anybody on them. Their shot distribution has been way too spread across them. I don't really know who's going to get the most shots for them. Sometimes it's Perisic, sometimes it's Kramaric. It's really up in the air. So I would probably avoid any Croatia player. But if I had to play anybody, I would probably play Sofiane Boufal for Morocco.
All right, I'm going to tell you on that one. I've got one more question for you, and this is maybe a bit of a stretch here, but it could be a possibility in this match when Croatia and Morocco played each other in group stages. Like we said, they tied 0-0, so it is possible that there could be extra time, as we've seen this in a few matches during the knockout stages. Croatia sent both of their knockout matches against Japan and Brazil into extra time, while Morocco only went once into extra time against Spain. So if we look at some of these extra time odds, Croatia plus 1,000, Morocco plus 1,200. You like any of those?
If I were to play anything, I would play exact score 0-0 at 11-1.
Hates scoring in this one.
No, once we get an extra time, it's really up in the air between these two teams. Here's what I would say is that if you really like Morocco or if you really like Croatia, just take them, you know, for half a unit each to win an extra time or to win on penalties. Because you're getting pretty decent odds there. Again, I don't really think there's going to be much scoring here. And I do think there is a tad, like ever so slight value on 0-0, exact score 0-0 draw at 11-1.
All right. Okay. So let's talk another hypothetical here because we're just having fun. This could happen possibly between these two teams, a penalty kick shootout. Croatia has won two of their knockout stages games in PK shootout, and Morocco has seen penalties once in the tournament. The lines for this are plus 1,000 for Croatia and plus 1,000 for Morocco. I know we're 0-0. We don't think there's extra time, but come on, indulge me a little bit here. What do you think?
Well, I mean, Croatia has been the best penalty team in this entire World Cup, and they've won it twice. Livakovic, their goalkeeper, he's an interesting case because he was really, really bad at the Euros two summers ago. But somehow when we get into penalty kicks, he becomes Gigi Buffon and one of the greatest goalkeepers ever. It's tough for me in penalty shootouts. Morocco doesn't really have a lot of strikers, a lot of guys who can get on the end of those type of kicks or even take penalties as well. So it's really up in the air. If I were to take anybody, I would take Croatia at 10-1 just because they've proven it throughout this World Cup. And you could even get double because, you know, a 0-0 draw is only in 90 minutes. So if you get that 11-1 and you want to take, you might be able to double dip there and take Croatia to win on penalties and maybe win both.
All right. So I love a double dip too. I mean, you can make a lot of money on that one if that happens to hit. Is there any other prop bets that you're looking at for this match? I mean, I know we're thinking no real scoring here, but is there anything else that you might dabble in?
I mean, outside of, you know, a 0-0 draw at 11-1 and both teams to score, no, I think that's how I'd play this match. You know, if you do like Morocco, they are sitting at 2-1 to win in regular time. What's interesting is, you know, obviously this match happened in the first group stage, and it was Croatia was lined at -110. And so Morocco, as we've seen throughout this World Cup, has been a better team. So the market has adjusted for that. But I know some people think it hasn't gone too far. So as outside of those two prop bets, I think that's all I'd play. I think Morocco is eventually going to win this match because Croatia has been very, very lucky up to this point. Like they haven't dominated anybody outside of Canada. And even the match against Belgium, like we're three Romelu Lukaku sitters away from Croatia not even making the round of 16. So, and they have to be gassed. I mean, they've played two 120-minute matches. They got completely dominated by Argentina. So if you had to play anybody on the money line, I'd take Morocco. But yeah, other than the two prop bets of 0-0 at 11-1 and both teams to score no at even money, that's how I'd be playing this match.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, well, let's move on to the final, the World Cup final. After 62 matches played over the span of a month, Paris Saint-Germain teammates Messi and Mbappe square off this Sunday as Argentina takes on France for the World Cup title. Argentina had a rocky start after losing their opening match to Saudi Arabia, which was just wild, in an early tournament upset. However, Argentina regrouped, and the Messi magic would lead Argentina to their potential third title. It also might be the last time if we said that the 35-year-old forward Messi, of course, will be playing in this, and he's going to be looking to end his career on top. France has made a second consecutive World Cup final appearance since winning it all in 2018. If France does win on Sunday, they'll be the first country to win back-to-back titles in 60 years. Brazil were the last country to do this, with Pelé leading the team to the World Cup wins in 58 and 62. If we take a look at these lines, Argentina plus 165, tie plus 195, France plus 185, spread under half a goal plus 270, over half a goal minus 370, total goals 2.5 over under there. Both teams to score, yes, plus 105, no, minus 135. What do you think?
I like the over in this match. I think we're getting.
We like goals in this one.
Yeah, I do like goals in this one. I think this is a very deflated total because it is a World Cup final. Because I think the narrative is obviously these teams are going to be very conservative, but there are some concerns for both these two defenses, and I think it's going to be very evident when they have to actually face a really good attacking side. So first off, Argentina, what they did against Croatia and what they did a great job of, and how they were able to create a lot of chances, they create a lot of numerical advantages on one side of the pitch, or what we like to call overloads, where they'd shade Messi, shade a striker, shade a forward over to the right side of the pitch where the winger is, and then they'd do an overlapping run with the fullback. And that's how they've been doing a lot throughout this entire World Cup. They've created a lot of chances off of that. But let's be honest, Argentina has not faced a murderer's row to get to this point. And if you look at the teams that Argentina has conceded against, It's Saudi Arabia, it's Australia, and it's the Netherlands. What do those three teams have in common? They have the ability to do quick strike counterattacks. The teams they haven't conceded against, Mexico, Poland, and Croatia, they're very slow, build-up, pragmatic-style teams. So France is the best quick strike counterattacking team in the world because they have Kylian Mbappe. And if Argentina's fullbacks are going to make those overlapping runs and they're going to get caught too far up the pitch, there is going to be way too much space for both Mbappe and Dembele to operate. And that's how France really plays. They play very compact. They play very defensive. They play very passive. They don't press very high. They just allow teams to come into their final third. They allow a ton of space. That's not really good when you're facing against Lionel Messi, who has done a lot more ball progressing, a lot more of the creator type rather than just being the out and out forward. He's come way far away from the goal, which has come to varied success. He's been 30, 40 yards away receiving the ball. What happens is when he receives the ball, you see it all the times on Twitter, there's five defenders around him. What does that do? That creates a ton of space for the other attacking players to get in behind. It's why Julian Alvarez scored two goals against Croatia because Messi drew so many defenders. So France, if they're not going to provide much ball pressure and they're going to allow Argentina to whether it be create overloads on one side of the pitch or play through the middle like Morocco was able to do and pull France out of position, that leaves a lot of question marks on how France is actually going to defend Argentina. And they really struggled when they had to face their best team in England. I mean, England created over two expected goals. Obviously, there was two penalties, but England had so much space to operate. They created a ton of chances around the box. So the thing about this World Cup and what we've seen from Argentina and France as well is once that first goal goes in, all hell breaks loose. Because if Argentina scores first, France can't just sit defensive. They can't play passive. Yes. Like they have to come out and do something they're not used to, which is press and try to win the ball back. That leaves so much space for Argentina's attackers like Messi to operate and really rack up the goals like you saw against Croatia, like you saw against the Netherlands. And on the flip side of that, if France scores first, they're going to play very, very defensive like they did against England. But they're also going to be afforded a ton of space to counter with Mbappe and Dembele. So I think I do like the over in this match. I think what we're getting, again, is a deflated total. I do project 2.6 goals for this match. So I do like the over in this World Cup final. Because the last World Cup final with France, I mean, it was a 4-2 thriller against Croatia. And we all thought that was going to be a big-time stalemate because there were two more defensive teams. So I think bypass narrative street and take the over at 2.5.
So best bet here is over the 2.5 goals. That's at plus 135. It kind of seems like both teams to score at plus 105 is something that might be a lean for you as well, based on what you just said.
Yep, I do project both teams to score at minus 110. So there is a little bit of value at plus 105. Again, it's all about who scores first here. If it's France, well, then they have to sit back defensive. They've been very vulnerable. Like they've conceded in every single match outside of the match against Morocco. And Morocco still created over one expected goal against them. And now this is the best attacking team they're going to have to face in this World Cup. So again, like both defenses have vulnerabilities. So both teams to score definitely has some value at plus 105.
Okay, so as far as best bets, you're attacking the total on this one. Who do you think wins? Even if it's not the bet that you're taking, who do you project is going to win this game? I feel like you're leaning towards France.
I am leaning towards France. And if I had to bet France, I would bet them in regular time, plus 185. I think it's a decent price. I project France at plus 142 for this match. Like I already mentioned, like Argentina has not played a murderer's row to get here. The best team they faced has been the Netherlands, and the Netherlands was threatening their penalty area all match long. And Argentina really did nothing offensively outside of the Lionel Messi penalty. So this is another situation, like I already mentioned, that they're going to be very vulnerable on the flanks. Even their center backs, Otamendi and Romero, they've been very, very aggressive, pushing far up the pitch and trying to win the ball up high. Again, that's not going to work against France, who has Kylian Mbappe and Dembele, guys who can really get in behind defenses and create a lot of chances. So I think this is going to be, unfortunately, I think it's going to be Messi losing in the final for the second time at the last three World Cups. And in France, in general, they don't really have the pressure on them. Like they won the 2018 World Cup. If you watch all the clips out of the French camp, like they're just having fun. Like they already know that like they have no pressure on them. Even if they lose this, it is what it is. Like, again, they've already won. This is their coach's last match. Like, again, like they have so much attacking and talent that Argentina has not seen in this World Cup. So I do like the French at plus 185. I do think that they should, like, when the first odds came out, you know, France was a minus 120 to lift the trophy. And now suddenly Argentina is getting a lot of money because I think it's narrative street for Lionel Messi. But the reality is the French have more talent than this Argentinian team.
And, you know, to your point, too, I feel like with any sport, when you can tell when a team is just out there and they're having fun and they have nothing to lose and they just play their game versus a team that has all of the pressure on their back, or someone like Messi that is really trying to win one more before he retires. And it's just, it's a total difference in play. So I would lean that way just based on what you said. But all right, we know that we're going to get goals in this game. Thank God, because the other one sounds kind of boring. People have got to score here. If we look at the anytime goal scores, it's your usual suspects. We've got Messi at plus 160. You've got Mbappe plus 188. Alvarez, Martinez. What do you think?
So if I were to play somebody from Argentina, I would probably play Julian Alvarez, who scored twice against Croatia. Again, like I already mentioned, for the Morocco-Croatia match, it's essentially, I want the guy who's getting the most shots. Now, obviously, in Argentina, that's been Lionel Messi. He's been their penalty taker. He's taken three penalties. But like I already mentioned, you know, Messi creates so much space for his other teammates. Julian Alvarez, who just recently made a move to Manchester City, is one of the best young strikers in the entire world. He's getting, you know, a little over 2.5 shots per 90. You know, he's created over 2.5 expected goals. So, and this has been one of his first starts, and I imagine he would start up top with Messi. So he's going to be in the more central type role. Messi's going to be more of the ball creator, coming far away from the goal. So there definitely is some value on Julian Alvarez to score. He's a great finisher. He's going to be playing the out and out forward role. So I would say for him, for Argentina, for France, it's basically been two guys that have been getting most of their shots. It's Olivier Giroud and it's Kylian Mbappe. They're both getting over 4 shots per 90. So if I had to take anybody, I would take Olivier Giroud because he is the number one striker, the out and out forward. The fear here is that he's old. He's 35 years old and he's probably only going to play for the first 60 minutes, and they'll probably bring on Thuram or somebody else for him. But with that being said, he's going to be afforded a lot of space, much like Alvarez, because of the attention that Kylian Mbappe draws. And he is a very, very good counterattacking forward as well. So if the two guys I had to play, I'd play Giroud and I'd play Julian Alvarez.
All right. I love it. I feel like you've given us so many good plays just on this game alone. Is there any other prop bets or any bets that you're looking at for this one?
Not really. If I were to play anything, it'd probably be in the exact score market.
Okay.
If you want to take a shot, France to win 3-0 is sitting there at 40-1.
Wow.
I think there's some decent value on that. If I were to play anything, what I like to do in exact score markets is that if I really like a team like France to win, I want to chase a big price on them to win either in a shutout or to win something like 3-1.
Yeah.
Chasing those bigger prices. If you really want to get crazy, if you want to take France -1.5, like on an alt spread, I think there's some decent value on that because of what I already said. Because if France scores first, they're going to be afforded a ton of space to counter. And they are not the type of team that's just going to, they're obviously going to sit very defensive, but if they have the opportunity to counter, they are going to do it and they are going to take advantage of it. And so if Argentina gets caught too far off the pitch with their fullbacks, Mbappe is just going to go ballistic on the wing. So if I had to do something, I would probably chase a France big price on, 3-0 or -1.5.
I love it. I'm totally convinced now. I'm like all in on France at this point. But let's talk about Golden Boot. This award, of course, given to the player with the most goals scored during the tournament. If Messi were to win, which it sounds like you don't think this is going to happen, he'd be the oldest player to win the award at 35 years old. All right, we got Messi, 5 goals, 3 assists, 570 minutes played, -200. You got Mbappe, you got Alvarez, you got Giroud. What do you think here? I feel like it's not going to be Messi, which is kind of a bummer for him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to pay -200 for Messi to win the Golden Boot at this stage in the tournament. If you wanted to place, if you truly believe that Julian Alvarez or Olivier Giroud are going to score in this match, it doesn't hurt to take a dart throw on them to win the Golden Boot and potentially get multiple goals in this type of match. It's going to be Messi or it's going to be Mbappe most likely to win the Golden Boot. They're both tied with 5 goals right now. So if I had to play anything, it'd probably be Alvarez or Giroud, like I already mentioned, for any time goal scorer. If they can potentially score 2 goals and overtake maybe Messi or Mbappe, but it's always very difficult to overtake Messi because he's Argentina's penalty taker. And he's, 5 of his 3 goals came off of penalties. So Argentina's been a tad fortunate with penalties throughout this World Cup too. They've gotten 4 in 6 matches, which is more than any other team. So We'll see. But yeah, again, if I'm betting anytime goal scorer, Golden Boot, I want the guy who's taking the penalties. But in this case, if I want to take a shot, it's probably Giroud or Alvarez, like I already mentioned, anytime goal scorer.
Okay, I love that. So there's always the biggest debate in sports about like who is the GOAT. It's, you know, versus LeBron versus Kobe versus Michael Jordan or Tom Brady versus, you know, Joe Montana, although Tom Brady I think has surpassed him at this point. And then there's Ronaldo versus Messi, and soccer fans going back and forth about who is the greatest of all time. What do you think?
It's Messi. I mean, I don't really think there's really that much of a debate. I think you're seeing at this World Cup the reason why. You know, they're obviously Ronaldo's 2 years older than Messi, and he is completely cooked at age 37. Like, he has been completely unproductive for Manchester United. He was very unproductive for Portugal in this World Cup, and it was actually a benefit for them to bench him. Messi, he's done everything at the club level. Even throughout, you know, he's won more Champions Leagues than Ronaldo. He's won more La Liga titles. So, you know, it's both of them are obviously incredible players. But if I had to choose anybody, I mean, it's Messi just because of his ability as a ball creator. Like, Ronaldo's an incredible attacking player. Like, he's really good at getting in behind people. But Messi is so good at every single aspect of being a forward and being an attacking player. Whereas Ronaldo, while he's great on the ball and he's great dribbling and he's got cool free kicks and great hair and everything, I mean, Messi does everything as a forward that you'd want. And that's why he's the greatest of all time.
So this is a novice question from me because I'm not as well versed in soccer or football. But when I was growing up, it was all about David Beckham. Mm-hmm. And so at what point did Lionel Messi or Ronaldo surpass David Beckham?
Well, it's just as time went on. I mean, David Beckham, he's one of the best midfielders of all time. But generally, when we're talking about greatest of all time, you know, with football, we talk about quarterbacks. Well, in soccer, we want to talk about forwards, guys who actually score goals and win matches. Now, you know, guys like Zidane and Kaká and Beckham are, you know, some of the greatest midfielders of all time. But we really want to be the greatest of all time.
Goals.
I hate to say it's got to probably be a forward, similar to a quarterback. Like, you know, if you want to be the greatest of all time, like, you got to be the guy who's throwing touchdown passes. So that's why you see guys like, you know, the discussion, whether it be Maradona, Pele, Messi, Ronaldo, it's all forwards when they try to discuss the greatest of all time.
Okay, that makes total sense. BJ, thank you so much for coming on today. You've given us so many sharp plays, such great analysis. You can catch him on Action Network. Talk about your podcast, where to find you on social so that people can get your great plays. Because like you said, the other leagues are starting back up again.
Right. So you can find our podcast, Wonder Goal, wherever you get your podcast. We'll be live 5 p.m. Eastern time on Friday night for the World Cup final, breaking down that and the third place match. Again, like you already mentioned, the Premier League season starts again on December 26th, Boxing Day in England. So we will have an episode breaking down every single Premier League match. We also cover all the other four leagues, Champions League, Europa League, throughout the rest of the season. It's usually two times a week, depending on if they're midweek matches or not. But yeah, you can catch us wherever you get your podcast, Wonder Goal.
That is BJ Cunningham from Action Network. Make sure that you follow and listen to everything that he does if you want to win money on soccer. This has been Moxie Betts, presented by Caesar Sportsbook. Don't forget to follow us on social at Moxie Betts.